Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul.
Good morning, Jefferson. Brad Adden Bushytail. Ready for another Sunday morning here in the North State, the territory of Jefferson. How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing good, Len. How you doing, buddy?
So far, so good.
Good. No one's hurt you yet?
No, just those poison oak bushes and stuff, vines that I've been tackling with.
You're like a spear of the disease or something.
I know. I look like I've been in a knife fight or something.
Everybody's sick around me. I mean, Sally has a new Indian name. It's called Sniffs with a Fist.
Sniffs with a Fist.
She's got like, man, she's just been sick. I mean.
Not good.
And she never gets sick. I mean, Sally never gets sick. I mean, it's like everybody that knows her knows she never gets sick. And she's been sick since not this last Friday, but the Friday before. So, anyway, babe, got to get better.
Yeah.
So, anyway, here we are.
We are here.
Mm-hmm. We are streaming live. And we are also on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, KCNR, Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E, because it's ours. And really, I think we are starting to act like it, starting to understand that it is sort of us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's us because we're the only ones going to do it.
And talking about us, we've, as most people know, we did roll out the rough draft of the Constitution a few days back. And we had Chris Ann Hall and her husband, J.C., here for last weekend. We had her here on Monday night last week. If you missed that, you missed a lot. She is amazing, and I would say it's safe to say she is the utmost authority and expert on the Constitution in the United States of America. And the way she teaches is so palatable. It's so understandable. She has a way to uncomplicate everything and use analogies that are fantastic. Her husband, JC, is an amazing, amazing man. And the two of them, it was quite an interesting little powwow we had for 7.5 hours in my living room. Huh?
It was very good because they helped us to better understand and better grasp, the concept of what we're doing and why we're doing it and why we can do certain things and why we cannot do certain things.
Did you find out that the more that we know, the less we know?
Every day.
Yeah, they were amazing. They took the judicial part of our Constitution and, well, that's gone. That got fixed.
Yeah.
And the educational part, that's gone. That got fixed. So the idea of having her and JC there was just great because it helped us to clarify many, many of the things that needed to be clarified legally and constitutionally. Wynn was giving me a great example about how they interacted with one another. That was a great example you gave.
How they interact with one another?
Yeah, how they did interact with one another. One has an idea and the other.
Oh, yeah. Because it was good because she would be focused on a certain task and then he'd say, well, don't forget. Oh, yeah. And then they'd just kind of go back and forth or they'd have a little healthy debate about it, but then they would come to a complete understanding and decision on moving forward with whatever the topic may be. And it was really cool to see that because you just see those two brains working in tandem. And then they're educating us at the table in the process. So it was really cool to be enlightened, so to speak. I mean, I have truly learned a lot about the Constitution, and I have a long way to go.
Well, I know also, so as going through that, we got to everything but Article 14.
Correct.
Which is the apportionment.
Right.
So we got through everything else, and there's a lot of notes on that. So all that will be forthcoming once we get the final position and the final articles on the judicial and educational. This Monday night at 2570 South Bonneview Road at the church that shall remain nameless at 6 o'clock, we will be having Janet Chandler. She will be talking about Articles the First, which is a very, very interesting subject.
Articles the First? What is that?
The original First Amendment, which has to do with, guess what, the silver bullet, which is representation. So she'll be talking about that. It will be a very, very good presentation, and it'll be one that'll be very enlightening. So we're looking forward to that. We're excited about that.
And there's a book on Articles the First.
Yes, there is.
And it weighs about 15 pounds. And the reason I know is because I bought it. I bought three copies.
Yeah, you bought us a copy.
Bought you a copy and bought Mark a copy. And so it's a very good book. It's got lots of information. It's got photocopies of actual documents that are fact. And so it's a game changer. And so when things come out, truly listen to what Janet has to say and get yourself a copy. I mean, it's worth every penny of getting it and toting it around. It's got a lot of good information in it.
Also, this morning we're going to have Kevin Kiley on. He is running for the Senate open Senate seat. His opponent is Brian Daly.
Oh, he's from Assembly District 6, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right.
And he is a former school teacher, former prosecutor. He's an attorney. And he is an assemblyman down there. He was instrumental in a couple of things. One is that he was able to be the lead in keeping Eric Holder from being hired by the state of California, which would have been unconstitutional.
Eric Holder, you mean Obama's right-hand man?
I mean.
Holy smoke, that man.
Yep. And anyway, he was instrumental in that and also instrumental in pursuing the transparency law that the Assembly and Senate has to bring things forward that they're going to present.
They're not transparent?
Mm-mm, not at all. 48 hours ahead of time. So he was very instrumental in those two things. And he'll be coming on. We have some important questions to ask him and chit-chat with him about. Anyway, with that, we have Mark Barrett on the line. Kimasabi, what say you, sir?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Doing well.
Good.
What say you?
Well, give me a topic here. I mean, we're working on the Constitution. Oh, the 2A lawsuit is almost ready to file. I know you've heard that before, but it's real close, and so I'm excited about that and getting going on that.
Is that because you've had changes in it? Is that why it's taking a little bit longer?
The Young case, we can't rely on the Young case anymore, so we had to change the whole thing because of that. And then there were a couple of cases that came down the pipe that helped us, so we had to change it again because of those cases. And then the latest case that helped us was the magazine, the overturn of the magazine, 30-round magazine ban by Judge Benitez. And so we did some changes there, and then Benitez stayed his own ruling so that it could go the statewide. Judge Benitez was very courageous. I read that opinion, and by the way, he filed an injunction to halt the enforcement of the 30-round standard capacity magazine ban in California. And, of course, the state appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court. Well, the Ninth Circuit upheld Judge Benitez's injunction. And then the Ninth Circuit, a three-judge panel, kicked it back to Judge Benitez to finish out the opinion and make the injunction permanent, which he did. And it was a 58-page opinion that was really a scathing rebuke of the state of California's blatant infringement on the Second Amendment. And it was very well written, very well reasoned. It was I don't enjoy reading court cases, but I did enjoy reading that one. And then the state filed an ex parte, an emergency motion, to have the permanent injunction appealed to the Ninth Circuit. Now, you know, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't really understand that process. But it seems to me like every time the state whines, they get a do-over. So they're going to get a do-over in the Ninth Circuit again with another apparently three-judge panel, a different three-judge panel, I guess. But the interesting part about that was Judge Benitez stayed his own ruling. So he stayed the injunction against enforcement. 30-round magazines are now illegal again in California, pending this rehearing. Now, this is kind of interesting, and at first I was very frustrated and disappointed until I did a lot of thinking about it and a lot of reading it. And what I came to realize was that Judge Benitez did not only the only thing he could have done, but what he did protected the bulk of his ruling against unwarranted intrusion in the interim by the Ninth Circuit. So what he did was he stayed his ruling until, however, the ruling was in force until 5 p.m. about 3 days ago, which allowed hundreds of thousands of 30-round magazines to be purchased and shipped into the state of California. And what he also did in staying his order, he grandfathered in all 30-round magazines, not just those manufactured prior to a certain year. So now anyone in the state of California, even the magazines they purchased 3 days ago, are grandfathered in and are protected from prosecution by the state of California. Now, folks, be careful. You can own them. But if you stick one in one of those weirdo bullet button nondescript AR-15s, then according to the state, you're making it into an assault weapon, and you can't be prosecuted for the magazine, but you can be prosecuted for the violating the assault weapon ban. So hold on to your magazines. Just keep them in the closet or something. They're perfectly legal to own. Every one you have is now legal, but you still can't go out to the gun range and use them. But what Benitez did was he protected the bulk of that ruling in the sense that had he not stayed the ruling, the ex parte motion to the Ninth Circuit would have allowed them to enter a temporary injunction without grandfathering those magazines in, without allowing those purchases to be complete, and without decriminalizing the possession of those magazines. So I was a little mad, and I was wrong. Benitez did the right thing. He did everything he could do to protect that ruling, not having the authority to stop the Ninth Circuit from intervening. And so we all owe Judge Benitez a debt of gratitude, and let's fight for the Second Amendment.
Okay, so then what's going to be the next step, do you know?
Well, the next step is filing, because we had to change our pleading a little bit because of that yes it is, no it isn't thing. And so now it's finished, it's complete, it's being finally proofread over the weekend for the very last time. That's it, no more changes, and it could file the first couple of days of next week.
Hey, Mark, we have Kevin Kiley on the other line. Hey, Kevin, how you doing? Kevin, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Doing very well. How are you?
Good. Sounds like, are you in your car? Or?
No, I'm on here. Let me pick up.
Okay.
How's that?
Oh, that's a lot better. That's good. Kind of sound like you were in an airport.
Nope.
So anyway, folks, as we said before, Kevin is running for Senate District 1 for the open Senate seat of Ted Gaines, who is now with the State Board of Equalization. His opponent is Brian Daly. And Mark Baird, we have you on the other line over here. So we have you both on the line. We gave your resume and a little bit of your background. Didn't talk about the doghouse, but I guess we'll talk about that one. Rather humorous, sort of a badge of honor for you. Anyway, I've got a quick question for you, and I kind of like to start it off by just asking, being one of 10 out of 40 in the Senate, what do you hope to accomplish, and what are a couple of the goals and a couple of things you hope to accomplish in the Senate in the state of California?
Well, I hope to provide new leadership for our party, for one thing. You know, we've been going downhill for quite some time. We haven't had any real leadership on the Republican side in Sacramento, and I think that we need to stand up and fight and actually be a real opposition party and make the case that one-party rule has been failing the state. And, you know, that's what I've been doing in the Assembly. I've been actually taking on the Democrats and winning and stopping some of their agenda, which is why you see with this recent office reassignment, they've now moved me to the smallest office at the Capitol because they like Republicans who would just kind of sit there, not say much, go along with what the Democrat agenda is, or maybe you're allowed to vote no every now and then, but you can't be too vocal about it. And so when you actually stand up and fight and try to advance conservative principles, they don't like that so much.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, you brought up what you were just saying about providing new leadership. Well, apparently there is new leadership in Jessica Patterson for the Republican Party, as someone who's taken over for your good friend, Jim Brulte. And, yes, I do mean that tongue-in-cheek. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of issues that we have here. I mean, the idea of fixing the Republican Party, I mean, we had a program on 2 weeks ago, and actually 3 weeks ago, March 17th, and we had talked about the Republican Party being dead in the state of California. And with 19 assemblymen out of 80 and 10 senators, soon to be 18, I would think that Chad Mays is probably going to skip to the other side, and he's there already. The real deal is it, what is it that you think you can do to save California? And as you and I have talked before, the debt is unbelievable. What is it that you think you can do to actually save it? I mean, all this is great points. You know, you want to provide new leadership. You know, you want to make sure we go in the right direction. We don't want the one part. But, I mean, actually, what is something factually that you can do that's real, not just statement?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'll answer that in a couple ways. Terry, I mean, in the short term, there are powers available to you as a member of the legislature that you can use even as a minority of one to get results. I'll give you one example. When the state illegally, the legislature illegally decided to hire Eric Holder as a special counsel at $25,000 a month, I challenged the constitutionality of that contract, and the assembly actually did end up severing its contract with Mr. Holder. There are other examples where I called the legislature out on violating Proposition 54, which requires a bill to be available to the public for 72 hours before it's able to be passed. And the legislature, the assembly ended up reversing course and actually calling back almost 100 bills that had been passed illegally. So there are ways in which even when you're vastly outnumbered, you can make a difference. You can move the ball forward. I've gotten good conservative legislation passed as well. Now, I will.
What legislation is that? Because so far, with all due respect, you stopped them from breaking the law. You stopped them from breaking the law and violating the Constitution. You stopped them from not being transparent. But they passed 2,519 laws. I would submit to you that we appreciate you putting your finger in the dike. But really and truly, you said something that I'd like to hear, and that is, what law, what did you actually do that made our life better other than trying to stop one of the 2,519 laws they passed?
Sure. I will. Let me get to the end of my answer because it kind of speaks to the concern you just raised, and then I'll go into specific legislation if that's okay with you. So what I was saying is that, you know, those are sort of the things that I've been trying to do given the current political environment, finding ways to be effective where you can. I do think that if we're going to make more significant change, so that we don't have all of these laws that are so bad for the folks of our state passing each year, and we can actually have a real meaningful conservative agenda, it's going to take a sea change in politics of the state. And that's going to require people who are actually willing to stand up and make the case to the people of California that one-party Democratic rule has failed people of all walks of life. It's causing people to leave the state left and right, and it's causing us to have the highest rate of poverty of any state in the country. It's causing the middle class to vanish. And so there are core quality of life issues, Terry, that I think can form the basis for a Republican agenda that actually appeals to people who aren't necessarily part of the Republican base, but see that their lives have not been improving under Democrat control. So take issues like education, where we have the worst education system, especially for kids who go to school in low-income communities of any state in the country. Or issues like the cost of living, which is more expensive to live here, it's more expensive to buy a house here, energy is more expensive, and so on and so forth. Or public safety, where we have these terrible laws that have liberalized the criminal code and have made our communities less safe. These are core quality of life issues that we should be able to form a winning coalition around. So that's the approach I have, is in the short term, I'm being creative to find ways where I can to move the ball forward while trying to lay the groundwork for more of a sea change in politics in the state in the longer term. You asked about specific legislation, so I've gotten a number of bills passed and signed by the governor. I actually had a first-of-its-kind resolution related to free speech on college campuses that we got through the legislature, actually passed unanimously.
What did that do? What did that do exactly?
Public safety, protecting victims of sexual assault. I passed legislation relating to education, relating to economic development. So in just one term in the assembly, I've actually gotten pretty good results, more than I might have expected going in as a member of the super minority. But I do agree with you that it's not nearly enough because the overall trajectory of the state is still so harmful to folks in the North State and all across California, for that matter.
On the free speech, Kevin, what exactly is that law? What exactly was that? Thank you. Somebody just turned down something that made it to where it isn't buzzing anymore. What was that?
So that's actually a little bit of minor feedback on the phone system when we have both lines open.
Good job.
And so when you're talking, I try to duck it.
Oh, great. Okay, good. I can hear you better now, buddy. Okay, so anyway, getting back to what you were saying.
Good.
Okay, you did. You were talking about the free speech.
That's right.
Could you just give us a little bit more on that? What exactly did that entail?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one of the first pieces of legislation I introduced after I was elected, early 2017. And it was actually even before you had a lot of these really ugly incidents that started this year with speakers being shut down, sometimes through violence on campuses like Davis and UC Berkeley. And what my legislation did is called on all California's universities to model their free speech policies after the University of Chicago, which actually has the gold standard sort of free speech policy in the country, where they developed a set of principles which describe the role of a university not only as serving as sort of a center place for the free exchange of ideas, but the obligation of the university to actively protect the right of students and other members of the university community to express their views when others seek to shut them down. And of course, you know, what we've seen in general is conservative views that are the ones that get shut down. So I actually expect this to be a pretty heavy lift to get through, but I found someone who is on the other side of the aisle who actually agreed with me on this one issue, and we partnered together on it and got it through the legislature. Now, that was just a resolution, so we followed up in 2018 with a bill that would have required every university to adopt a statement of that kind and would have required, as part of orientation when you're a new student, that you actually receive training on what the First Amendment is, and orientation, what the First Amendment is, and why it's important to allow for people of diverse ideas to express their views. Now, that bill made it a long way. It actually got endorsed by a bunch of newspapers throughout the state. We even had the University of California agree to endorse it, as well as, like, 50 or 60 Jewish American organizations endorsed it, because they see a close connection between the hostile environment for free speech on the one hand and the sort of alarming rise of some forms of anti-Semitism on the other, on some of our college campuses. So that passed the Higher Education Committee unanimously. Unfortunately, it ended up dying in the sort of graveyard of the suspense file of appropriations. So
yeah,
we're working on another version of that this year.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, too, is, I mean, we had a program on March 17th. I mean, the Republican Party basically is dead. You had alluded to the fact that, the decline to state independence, the idea is moving them over. You talked about the quality of life issues, which is very important. But the real deal is that California is broken. I would submit to you it can't be fixed in its present state. And I would submit to you that probably the only thing we can do is split the state with an Article 4, Section 3 state split. Mark, you had a question for Kevin.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're absolutely right. The trajectory of this state is absolutely downhill, and it's pretty frightening how fast it's going. I think that as far as liberty and economic opportunity and freedom in the North State, we're under insurmountable odds with the rest of the state of California. And I think you have to agree that for 1 to 2 million people to fight the tide of progressive socialism against the other 37 million people in this state, when 51% of the representation in the state of California lies from the northern boundary of Los Angeles County south to the Mexican border, I think we need to start over. I think we need the opportunity. The people of the North State have said it again and again and again and again, and we're looking for help. So my question to you is, if we help you get elected to State Senate District 1, will you introduce state split legislation for the state of Jefferson, or state split resolution, a bill for the state of Jefferson to have the opportunity to come into being?
Well, nice to chat with you, Mark. I think I've addressed that question on this program before, which is, I'm a great friend and a supporter of the Jefferson community. You can talk with the chapters that are in the district I represent now, and am extremely committed to working together on the goal of fair representation. I am 100% in agreement with the sort of the premise behind the movement, which is that we don't have adequate representation in the North State, that we've that our districts are way too big, that the legislature is totally insulated and hostile to the values of the North State. Now, all of that being said, you know, I am a California Assembly member. If I win this race, I'll be a California senator. My obligation is to work for change in that capacity. And so I can be supportive of the goals of greater representation, for sure, and I can look to find ways to bring that about as a California senator.
What way would you do that, Kevin? How in the world would you do that? See, the problem is that there. Okay, I mean, you and I have sat across from each other eating, and we talked about this. How do you fix this? It's unfixable. The idea of splitting something is not unpatriotic. The idea of an Article 4, Section 3 state split is not something that is that's out of your realm. As in fact, it should be your job to make it better and make things better for your constituents. And I would also add the caveat of every county, with the exception of a small portion of Sacramento, has signed to separate from the state of California and become the state of Jefferson only because nothing else works. I mean, you know, really and truly, it'd be great if the independence and decline to states and the quality of life and all this stuff would work. And it'd be great if we could get, I mean, what do you suggest? Did Los Angeles give up 10 of their senators out of 11? Are they just going to do that? I mean, reality is that we're talking about survival. And I would just hope, sir, that you're not basing your particular position, as you just stated, saying that you're a Californian and that basically you're an assemblyman representing California, not to just further along your position and your career, because you stated at the top of the program that you wanted to do something to help the people, to make things right. Well, making things right, there is no other solution. I mean, we what's the solution? Now, we're going to go off to a break. So if you both could hold over, we'll be back right after the break. And we'll go ahead and let's talk about that. What's your solution? I mean, all this stuff is great, but how about a real answer? This is survival for us. Time has come, folks.
We're 51.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender. Member FDIC.
February 22nd, 1982. Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Where at least that's what it seems. Politicians in the big old city running everything. Oh, well, I may be simple and it's not for everyone. It's just a state of mind.
We're back.
It's a state of change.
Okay, gentlemen, we have Mark Barron on the line along with Kevin Kiley. Kevin is representative of the Assembly of District 6, the state of California, and is running for District 1 for Senate. The seat's been vacated by Ted Gaines. We you were just asked a question on how we fix California. You know, we're getting a lot of stuff in the chat room. You know, yes or no, do you support or not? What's your solution? And with all due respect, I think that there's probably a good million people that are frustrated with everything and wondering, well, you know, maybe we just need to do something a little more, a little more out of the box, kind of like what Steve Baird did. And oh, by the way, Rex Heim, I guess, has thrown his weight behind Brian Daly. I find that a surprise. But anyway, we'd like to know what it is that you think you're going to do to fix the representation issue and bring California back.
Well, I'll say first of all, Terry, I'm not someone who's been in politics my whole career for 25 years like my opponent. I was first elected to the Assembly in 2016. And what we've been talking about, my record so far, that's over the last 2 years. So I'd say, you know, in order to bring about the sort of sea change that I think we really need to change the state, yeah, it's going to take a little longer than just the 2 years I've had. So I'd say, you know, the opportunity to step up and take on more of a leadership role in the Senate will provide a good foundation to start doing that. But I'll say beyond that, you know, if you're looking for specifics about how do we address the representation issue, I mean, I think that there's a few things that we've talked about before. Number one, I think it is time to reexamine the size of legislative districts. I don't have an exact number for you. I think that you've thrown out some good ideas, but I think that what we have right now is totally unworkable, and it's a little crazy that we haven't changed the number of representatives, even as the population of the state has reached 40 million. But I'll say, secondly, that I think that we need to move back to a model of decentralizing power
with
county
response
and the local community.
State.
You know, we have a state government that keeps getting bigger and bigger, that has a command and control mentality when it comes to just controlling all aspects of people's lives and to usurping power from local communities. And I think that is the basis of a lot of the frustration that folks have in the 11 counties in this district. They feel a loss of self-government, a loss of self-control. They feel continually harassed by Sacramento. And so I'm going to fight to actually have more local control and to have more power vested closer to the people, as opposed to having sort of values that are extraneous to those communities imposed on them from the outside.
Okay, so then how is this going to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, our last senator never came up here, or I shouldn't say never. Never is pretty distinct. Rarely came up here, and most people couldn't pick him out of a crowd. If there were 10 people lined up, most people couldn't pick him out of a crowd. So what are you going to do that's different? How are you going to fix it? How are you going to interact with the public up here in District 1, and how are you going to make things better for your constituents in District 1? How is that going to work? How is that going to happen?
Yeah, those are all good questions. I should give you guys fair warning. I do have some time limitations here. I have an event I have to get to, so I'm happy to keep chatting with you while I'm driving, although the sound quality won't be great there. I can call back in about an hour or so if you're still on the air.
Yeah, you can call back later on. We do have a program called Sovereign Mind you can call into. That'd be great. But again...
Okay, mm-hmm. And I'll just address your question there before I go for the moment, which is that, you know, look at my record so far in the Assembly. I have held more town halls and community coffees than I think any legislator in the state. I have them at least once a month. And I've said and I've, you know, proven through my actions that, you know, my whole job is to represent folks in my district. I'm not supposed to be there in Sacramento just kind of doing my own thing. My job is to be your representative. That's what a republic or a representative democracy, whatever you want to call it, is all about. And so, you know, it's obviously a big district geographically, but you just can ask the folks that that I represent now, and even during the campaign, I think that I've made a lot of effort to try to be as present as possible, and, you know, that's certainly going to continue after I'm elected. I'm incredibly excited about the chance to represent the counties that that are in this district. I mean, I think that they represent the best of what this state has to offer, and we need to have more of the values of those counties in Sacramento and less of the values of Sacramento in those counties.
Well, it is a pretty quick leap. You're right, 2016 to all of a sudden 2 years later, you're running for another office. So You're right. You haven't really gotten your feet wet on that from what you said. That's a curiosity. But anyway, Mark, do you have any other questions for Kevin?
No, I think he's answered my question. He will not support the state of Jefferson, and I personally am going to ask all of my friends in Jefferson and all of the committees where I have any influence to fold his tent, because we need to focus on gaining liberty through statehood, and if we don't have a candidate that will support us, I just don't see any reason in supporting that candidate. I'm not making a comment on his personal ethics or his attempts to try or any of that. I think he's wrong. I think state split is a fully constitutionally supported activity through Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution, as well as the fact that it's been done four times in our history. And I think we as Jeffersonians need to focus on, to keep our eye on the ball, and that is state split, because it is our only chance to save ourselves and our communities from absolute ruin by the socialist progressives in Southern California. So I'm sorry, but I can't support a candidate that won't support us.
Okay.
Well,
so
there you have it.
Yeah, now, I think we may have lost Kevin. and I can see Ashley's on the phone over there. I'm not really sure what's going on with that. But anyway, Mark, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I mean, if you can't, I mean, there isn't a solution there. I mean, you know, maybe it's time to look in-house for another candidate for up here. I agree. I think the folks, if you're out there, you know, and you support Jefferson, you support representation, we can't keep going down this same, you know, rabbit trail of saying, gosh, you know, well, you know, that we things are bad in California and this is really bad, and I think I can fix it by, you know, by just going out and, you know, and letting people know it's bad. There has to be solutions. Mark, do you have any other thoughts on that?
Well, liberty first, liberty last. Without liberty, you're not going to be allowed to keep the money and the property. You're not going to be allowed to do the things that you love to do. You're not going to be allowed to protect your economic future in this state. That's plain for anyone whose eyes are open and whose ears are open. They're coming for your water next year. They're going to tax your tap water. They're going to, you know, the congestion tax out of New York is probably ringing pretty near and dear to their hearts. I can see every large city in California imposing a congestion tax now in order to save the earth and fill their pocketbook. I mean, I meant fill their pocketbook and save the earth. And so, look, this is coming, folks. This is a storm that we cannot prevent. They have super majorities in both houses. The conservative lawmakers are climbing down the ladder of success, and right now they're standing in a hole at the bottom. I applaud the ambitions and the efforts. Gee, I think it's great, but I also think that rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic is a futile effort. And if we intend to have liberty or secure liberty to ourselves and our posterity, we need to start over. California is broken. It's too big to govern. We have no representation. Even your candidate for state senate one just admitted that. And he just admitted that it needs to be dramatically increased, something we've been trying to tell people for years, something we're suing the state of California over right now. And all of a sudden, a guy who wants to get elected says, oh, yeah, we need more representation. How much? I don't know. What form will that take? I don't know. How can you get it done? I don't know. But I'm going to keep on swinging. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to show up every day and just do my best. I just have to say, I don't want to sound frustrated, but I've heard that 100 times from 100 different politicians in California. Only now, most of those politicians are gone, and they've been replaced by socialist Democrats who favor opening the southern border for unlimited illegal immigration, where the immigrants get free stuff after they commit a crime to sneak in. California's in sedition for violation of Title 8, 1324, harboring and shielding illegal aliens. So here's a constitutional officer. You know, I can't violate the Constitution by helping you separate the state. Well, the state of California is unconstitutional. They violated their oath of office. They violated Article 3 of the California Constitution. They violated federal law. They're happy about it. They're not ashamed of it. They'll stand on a stool and tell you all about it every day and what a great thing it is. So why on earth would you want to support a failed criminal state when you could give liberty to a couple of million people in the North State by doing one lousy thing, and that's introducing a bill for state split? I cannot support a candidate who won't do the least little concrete thing that his constituents are asking him to do. And so there he has his own agenda above the agenda of his constituents. And I say, let's forget about this election. Let's fold our tents and concentrate on getting Jefferson.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Mark. I couldn't agree with you more, Kemosabe. I think the disturbing part was that, you know, to throw the fact of the Daley being a, you know, a politician for the last 25 years and that he's new, but he's new with no answers and new wanting to come in from the assembly. I mean, if he's doing a good job in the assembly, why not get your feet wet a little bit more before you jump into the next thing? But I'm going to jump into the next thing because I think I can do this, that, or the other. I mean, but nothing concrete. I agree with you. Anyway, Bob, if you could hold on till after the break, and Mark, if you want to stay with us, that'd be great. We've got to take this last break here, so time has come.
For 51.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was a queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio. That we share, the mountains that we move, caught like a wildfire out of control, till there was nothing left to burn and nothing left to prove.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer, announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
All right, we're back.
Thank you, Ashley. Was just rocking out.
Yeah, she's rocking out. She's tormenting.
Got some moves, man.
It's like we're in a fishbowl. She's in a fishbowl or we're in a fishbowl, one of two.
I think you're tormenting me.
Oh, we would never do that.
So for those who don't know, the sign for 30 seconds left and break is a C shape.
Yeah.
And they're doing it with both hands, which makes me look like a lobster.
We just give each other signals back and forth, and she's trying to educate us, but for some reason we're too dense for it.
We are. Okay, Bob, you've got just a couple of minutes, buddy. What do you got? Brett, Bob.
Bob, are you there?
Yeah, we're here. You know, I really believe in what Mark has to say about what's going on with these people running for Senate. But Dolly hasn't done nothing for us in, what, 18, 20 years? He isn't going to do nothing for us neither. Even though Kevin Kiley just stated he will not back the state of Jefferson, he wants us to have representation, which I don't think he'll ever get us. Okay? I still think, in a way, he's a better person than Brian Dolly, because Brian Dolly doesn't give a darn. All he's worried about right now is making dollars for himself.
Hey, Bob. Think about what you just said, okay? Just real quick, okay? Kevin Kiley can't really do anything. He's been in for 2 years. He'd be a good assemblyman down there. He leaves there. There's an election down there. If Dolly leaves up here and there's an election here, maybe we can put somebody in Dolly's seat up here that can represent us better, number one. Number two, really and truly, you know, when you stop and think about the fact that no one's going to help us anyway in that district, we need to concentrate on Jefferson. I mean, no one. What can they do anyway? My only problem is the fact, and I'm going to turn this to Mark. My only problem is the fact that he gave no solutions. The representation issue, the representation issue was a dance. That was a dance.
Yes, it is. I agree.
Well, let me just finish, Bob. The thing is that was a dance, number one, and number two, there was no solution with it. It was just agreeing with this. It was pandering. There was no solution. So what's the difference between him and Dolly? If Dolly's gone, at least maybe we can put somebody in up here who will represent us. Anyway, Mark, what say you, sir?
Well, there are two things. I concur with what you said, first of all. But second of all, let's examine an alternate path here in that. Yes, Brian Dolly is what he is. He's essentially, he's not as well spoken as Kevin is, but he's one of those keep on swinging guys. I'm reaching across the aisle. I'll educate Democrats, and then all of a sudden, with their next spring of water, they'll come around. But here's the alternate path for us of Jefferson, and I want to lay this out so that people understand. If Kevin Kiley is elected to state Senate, Brian Dolly stays where he is. So we still have Brian Dolly, helping us into economic ruin, and we have someone who's going to keep on swinging in the state Senate instead of Ted Hu. In the end, nothing changes for us. Now, let's look at this from one other point of view. What if Brian Dolly wins for state Senate 1? Yeah, he's not going to do anything for us either, but that's a foregone conclusion. Just look at the numbers, 10 out of 40 senators. He's not going to be able to reach across the aisle enough to help us. So, but what it does do is it vacates Brian Dolly's assembly seat, and that vacated seat gives us the opportunity to find a candidate who will put in our legislation and help that candidate be elected to state assembly. So that's the path I'm suggesting. Hold the pen. In other words, stop worrying about state Senate 1. Whoever wins that isn't going to help us anyway, no matter what a good person they
are. That's true.
But what it does do is it opens a seat that we could fill as the state of Jefferson with a candidate friendly to us who would put in our legislation, and that would do us some good.
There you go.
Okay, my other thought is that I know when Brian Dolly run, there was a socialist that run against him up there. I don't know how close they got. What happens if we get somebody that's a socialist and we can't get somebody to beat that socialist in that race? That's another thing I'm looking at.
Are you talking about in the assembly race or the Senate race?
Yes, in assembly race.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the counties of Jefferson, I have every confidence that no socialist would win for assembly in Brian Dolly's district, because remember, Brian Dolly's district is totally and completely inside the state of Jefferson.
And if
we as the 23 counties of Jefferson cannot mount an effort in order to successfully fend off a socialist challenge for that assembly seat, then what do we think we're doing anyway?
Right.
Okay, so this is a test of faith for us. Here's our opportunity. here's our opportunity to identify a candidate, help that candidate gain the seat that Brian Daly will vacate when he wins Senate District 1, and that candidate will put in our legislation. So it's crunch time, folks. If you say you want Jefferson, if you think you want Lipsy, if you pretend to stand up or show up at a meeting or two or a rally or two, or, you know, I don't, no matter what it is, here's your chance to show if you're a patriot or if you aren't, if you want the state of Jefferson or don't you. So this is our opportunity. It's a real opportunity. And all we have to do is follow through and mean it.
And, Bob, one more thing that's reality. The socialist didn't get that close to Daly. However, the Democrat that was down who ran against Kevin Kiley for his assembly seat got much closer. So the risk of losing an assembly seat on the Republican side is a bigger risk in six than it is in one, number one. Number two, I don't really see that happening. I mean, you know, the reality is that we have to understand what's going to help us as far as we the people. And again, Mark has been right. He's always been right about this. It is us. These people are not really going to help us. I mean, it was very transparent today, at least so far. I know that Kevin Kiley says he's going to call back in during Sovereign Minds. Yeah. We'll see if he does. But it was very transparent on where it is. And simply, if Kevin Kiley gets elected, it doesn't help us. If at this point, if Brian Daly gets elected, we could ask several candidates to run.
Okay. The reason I did what I did, and I'd like you guys to understand, it's not that
we got 2 minutes, man. We got 2 minutes,
yeah, Bob. It's not against anything you're saying. I wanted people to understand that how this worked, and I thought if I bring this up and you guys explain it as well as you did, that this is the way to go. It's not that I'm for one and or the other, because there's a lot of people out here don't understand things. And now that you brought it out, I brought up a question, and you guys answered extremely well. This here, I think, will help clarify stuff.
Appreciate that, Brown Mountain. I appreciate that a lot. Mark, we got about 2 minutes. What you got? Thanks, Bob.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye, Bob.
Well, I want to thank Bob for bringing up the question, and Bob's a patriot, and I respect him, and I like him, and I consider him a friend. And, you know, it illustrates we have a window of opportunity, and we have a window in history, and the window's open. It's open to us right now. We have had an unequivocal statement made by a candidate running for an office. You're free to support him or not. I, for myself, will not. I'm going to ask all of my friends and people who are in committees in Jefferson counties to fold their tents for Kevin Kiley, and let's focus on getting something done that we can get done for the good of the state of Jefferson, and that is to elect a candidate to Brian Daly's vacant assembly seat, because the numbers tell us that Kevin Kiley may well lose the state Senate seat. I am not advocating that the state of Jefferson support Brian Daly. I think he's an enemy of Jefferson. But I am saying let's not help a guy who says he will not help us. Let's focus on emptying that assembly seat and getting our own person in the assembly who will introduce our legislation. And the time has come for 51. And we, the people of the state of Jefferson, are the only ones who can do this, or through our inaction, that it's never done.
Well, folks, Mark, that's well said. Thanks, Bob, for bringing that up. I don't know. You know, maybe if you got private property and you got a Kevin Kiley sign, you might want to think about, I don't know, taking it down. Because at this particular point in time, unless there's a change of heart, I have to agree wholeheartedly with Mark, and I know there's several other counties that agree too. If someone isn't going to help us, why should we help them? I mean, you can't fix this problem with the same old rhetoric and the same old placating without any solution. And I did not hear a solution. Unfortunately, it was very, very disappointing. Anyway, with that, we hope to see everybody tomorrow night, 2570 South Bonnyview Road at the church that shall remain unnamed.
Nameless.
For Articles the First in Janet Chandler's presentation. It's very, very enlightening. It has to do with, guess what, the silver bullet representation. Mark, thank you very much, my good friend, and time has come.
For 51.
Time has come for 51 in Jefferson State.